One of my nephews is just learning to talk, and instead of just the babyish kind of or the toddlerish kind of words that make no sense, just sounds coming out of their mouth, he's actually starting to form simple words now, and he's starting to realize what they mean. And it's interesting to note that one of the first things he seemed to latch onto and continues to say on a regular basis is the word no. Of course, he knows the word yes, but I don't know, no seems to fit his will a lot more. And a friend of my sister's who I was visiting with this weekend also has a young one, and my sister was in on the conversation too, and as they're talking, she was telling my sister that she had to introduce her toddler son to the idea of what a timeout was for the very first time, because her son too was really embracing this whole idea of no and what it means. So in listening to this conversation, we all kind of chuckled, but I told them both that, you know, they're experiencing in the spiritual sense the effects of original sin through their children's disobedience. Why do we always lean, we did the same things when we were kids too. Why do we always lean more towards the no side and disobedience than to the yes side and obedience? Well, that's the original sin, at least the effects of it still in our lives. We know too, when we go way back to our first parents, it was Adam and Eve who first said no to God, and that's how sin and suffering and death entered the world. The sacrament of baptism, of course, we know as Christians, washes away that sin. But as I said, that tendency to sin, or what the church calls concupiscence, that's wanting to say no to God, sadly remains in us. We not only start to see it in our young children, but we also see this tendency in our older children and our teens. However, the good news is that at these ages, our young people start to develop a conscience and hopefully a good relationship with God as they get to know Him by coming to church and hopefully in their daily prayers. I remember when I was first looking at this parable years ago, I had to kind of laugh because I remember when I was a teen, one of the things that I hated to do more than anything else was cutting the grass. We lived in the suburbs and we had a very large yard. And so it took some time, it took about 2 hours. And I think when I first did it, I thought it was pretty cool, but that idea quickly faded. I was the oldest of my brothers and sisters, so as they got older, we started to take turns cutting the lawn, which was a little bit of a relief, but I noticed when my turn came around, you know, I tried to disappear, be busy. When I noticed that I'd come home from school and that grass was just a little too long, I knew it was time to get going and find something else to do. But on more than one occasion, I remember my father finding me and asking me to go out and mow the lawn because it was my turn. And I remember saying, you know, Dad, I really don't. Can't someone else do it? And I would say no simply because I really didn't want to, which brought on, as you can imagine, repercussions, of course. But I also remember after that feeling guilty for disobeying my father. And this was a good guilt because it was this healthy sense of guilt that often helped me to change my mind and apologize and then do my father's will, go out and cut the grass like we hear one example of in the parable today. And yet there were rare occasions too, like the other man in the parable today, when my dad would ask me to go out and cut the lawn and I'd say, oh yeah, no problem, I'll get to it. But quickly forgot about it, and it never got done. And that same guilt would come back when I remembered, and eventually would remind me that I forgot, but my father never did. And so after patiently waiting to see if I would do it again, there would be repercussions. But because I did not act to remedy the situation, it now became a sin of disobedience for me. So not only did I have to reconcile to my father, I had to reconcile to my Father in heaven. And that sin, again, You could see the effects of it. It brought on a disunity and a tension in my relationship with my earthly father because he couldn't understand why I was not being obedient. And of course, this would put everyone in a bad mood. So then around the dinner table that evening, it was kind of quiet. There was this tension. This was all the result of my not following through of obedience. Our tendency to say no as children and young adults, when we look at it and peel away all the layers of the onion, it really comes down to selfishness, a selfish way of looking out for ourselves and our own desires. And as adults, we're not immune to this, obviously, but we find that we never completely outgrow this tendency, whether we're 7 years old or we're 70 years old. But hopefully, by the time we're 70, we've made some leaps and bounds toward selflessness. It seems that no matter how old we are, we'll always have to fight that desire. However, the good news today, and this is what the Lord tries to get us to think about, is that despite our tendency to sin by saying no to God, we are still created in His image and in His likeness. Part of being created in His likeness is having the free will ability to overcome that tendency to say no and to say yes and to be able to give of ourselves to doing God's will and to one another. This is made clear to us as we remember, especially in the Mass, that we celebrate every Sunday the gift of God to us in the person of Jesus, who would die to atone for the many no's that we have said to our Heavenly Father throughout our lives. For the Church teaches us that in each and every Mass, we call to mind the ultimate yes that Jesus gave to His Father by giving His life on the cross for our sins. St. Paul encourages us today to constantly go on fighting that tendency to say no to God in our lives and model that example set for us by Christ our Savior. We can grow in this ability if, like Christ, we do a couple things. We keep coming to Mass like we do to get that strength from His Word and from Holy Communion, but also through our daily prayers. For it's through our daily prayers that God will help us to grow in selflessness in serving others, to be a true servant. And that's not to say that our own needs are not important. We all have needs that need to be met. But this attitude will help us realize that the needs of others are as equally important to our own, and that it is the Christian who is called to serve. The idea simply is this. If we look on it on a much grander scale, and we can envision this, if everyone said yes to Christ's call to go out and to serve the genuine needs of others, then everyone's needs would be met. Everyone's. But on the other hand, if everyone says no to serving others, I'm just going to serve myself, then sadly, no one's needs get met. And then there's a lot of hurt and frustration. And we see that. Our world is in that space today because of that. So answering the call to service must be a priority for us as Christian Catholics so that we can lead others to Christ, not so much by what we say, but by what we do and how we respond in obedience to our Father's will. Author Sally Cock reminds me, and I'll just share this with you today, but she had this little quote in one of her books, and she says, you know, great opportunities to help others seldom really come into our lives when you think about it. But, she said, remember that small ones surround us each and every day. And those are the opportunities to serve. The more we pray, the more our eyes will be open to those opportunities to love, to forgive, to serve, and be helpful. And the more we do those things, the more the Lord will forgive us, provide for our needs, and answer our prayers.